What is going on, everybody? Welcome to A Theology of Hustle. This is episode 61, and today I'm talking to Jamie. Now, I go a few years back with Jamie. I help run a conference in Chicago for foster and adoptive families. It used to be called Refresh Chicago, is now called the Replanted Conference, and Jamie has been a part of that. And that's because Jamie runs this incredible organization called the Forgotten Initiative, and they work with foster care, and they do just amazing work in the foster community and in helping families through this difficult journey of foster care. And so we've known each other for a few years because of that conference. The Forgotten Initiative is always there. But recently we were at the Christian Alliance for Orphans conference in Kentucky, and I got a chance to go out with Jamie and her whole team along with the Replanted team, and we had such a great time. And I just thought, y'all have got to hear from Jamie. Like, just even talking to her team about the organization, it's so apparent how much they love that organization, how much they buy into it, how much it's just theirs. And so in this interview, we talk a lot about foster care and about the mission of the Forgotten Initiative, and it's amazing. I love talking about that stuff. If you've listened to many episodes, you know that those things are very near and dear to my heart. But in this episode, we get to sort of nerd out with Jamie a little bit on leadership. It turns out that Jamie is very, very passionate about organizational leadership, and I think, man, the stuff that we talk about is so, so important. I really do believe that when you're a leader and you have people working under you, that it's your responsibility to be really good at that job at leading, because you affect so much of their lives, right? If your leadership is poor and the people are struggling under you because of that, then that's on you. And I think you have a responsibility to, you know, really think through these things, to be a good leader, to be somebody who sacrifices their own desires and needs for the people that they're leading. And so we get into like the leadership class in this episode, and it is so good. We talk about, you know, Patrick Lencioni. We talk about podcasts. We talk about, you know, all these books that you can be reading on leadership. And we just go deep into leadership. I don't know that we've ever on this podcast gotten so deep into the topic of leadership. And I think it is so, so important. These are things that we need to be talking about. So you're going to come away from this podcast with some resources for becoming a better leader. And I think that's really cool. So I think you're going to love hearing from Jamie. You're going to love this episode. We go in all sorts of directions, and it's a ton of fun. She's got a great organization. I encourage you just to check out the Forgotten Initiative and what they're doing. It's awesome. So my weekly reminder comes here, though. If you could just go on to iTunes or whatever app you use and leave a rating and review. It just helps get the word out about A Theology of Hustle. Lets people know that other people are listening, which is always helpful. Make sure you're following me on Instagram at Theology of Hustle, and newly on Twitter at Curry Blanford, as I try to navigate Twitter. So you can follow me on those places to stay up to date with what's going on. We have some new things dropping in the next few months. I've been working on some stuff, some new swag and whatnot. So make sure that you're following so you can stay up to date with what's going on. So enjoy this interview, though, with Jamie. Well, Jamie, I can't say thanks enough for making time for me, for coming on the podcast. I'm pumped to chat.
I am excited to be here. I've been looking forward to this, Curry.
I love it. I love it. Well, let's just kick it off by having you just sort of introduce yourself to everybody.
Well, I am a mom of seven. My kids have come to our family through adoption, through foster care, and through birth. That was not ever our plan. I'm a wife to one amazing man named Clint. We've been married coming on 19 years.
Wow, nice.
And crazy thing is, I was 19 when I got married. So it's a very weird, like, actually this month in just a few days is our 19th wedding anniversary. And so to think that we've been married as long as I was just single without him.
Like, yeah, that's a milestone.
Awesome.
That's
it
a big
is.
One. Yeah, that's cool.
And actually, he's going on a mission trip and is not going to be with me, and I'll be home with the kids. So.
That perfectly describes 19 years of marriage right there.
Exactly. No, but and I lead the Forgotten Initiative, which is a ministry that is all about helping you, helping people support the foster care community. And we do that through awareness, encouragement, and advocacy.
I love it. That's good stuff. Well, you know, foster care and adoption are, you know, big in my world too.
Yes.
So I'm so excited to have this conversation with you. Let's jump into the vocational journey though. So I know, why don't we just talk about like maybe what you were doing before TFI and then like why all that came about?
Yeah. Well, I never had ambitions to start a ministry or to be a leader. I always cared about investing in people. But it was through loss. It was through this journey of waiting that God opened our eyes to this whole world called foster care. Mm. I said earlier that adoption wasn't in our plan, and it truly wasn't. In fact, I used to be afraid of it. Mm. But it was through awareness that God opened our eyes and just made us curious. And that curiosity prompted us to pray. And as we prayed, we eventually became available. And that's when we first adopted our son, Hudson, and he was born in Guatemala. And then after that, so we had had two daughters by birth before that. Then we adopted our son. And then we kind of caught this adoption bug, you know, and it's like, okay, we get this now. And so we wanted to do it again. Guatemala at that time had closed. And so we decided, okay, let's try to adopt from the United States. And that took us on a journey of, it just didn't happen for a couple of years. And it was extremely emotional for me, especially. Just this, every time I heard about a baby, I'm an all in person. So every time I heard about a baby, I was like, I'm wearing a blue shirt and I'm in my room and this is the moment I heard about my child and I'm trying to remember every detail and then it would be a no. Hmm. And so it was just this crushing time. But through that, God opened our eyes in so many ways. One, he taught us that it's our whole purpose is about getting to know him more, right? It's not about just doing for him, but getting to know him more. It taught us it's not about me. And it taught us that it's not about bringing a child into our family necessarily. It's about bringing our family to a child. And he was clearly closing this adoption door, but he opened a whole new door, a whole new world, this foster care world to us. And when we started to understand what foster care was, we realized, okay, that is something we want to get behind. We've been waiting for a child, and yet there are children waiting for a family. Maybe not a forever family, maybe a family for a time. And so that's what we wanted to get involved with. Through that journey of learning about foster care, I remember seeing a video of a little girl waiting in an office while the worker called to find a home for her. And it just rocked my world. I was like, I cannot believe this is happening because everybody on the other end of the line was saying, no, we don't have room. We can't take her. And I had to do something. And so I walked into our local state foster care agency, DCFS, had three kids at the time. We walked in and I said, where do these kids go? I didn't know. I have to know. Can I see what they do when they are here? Can you just help me understand? And they showed me rooms where kids will wait or visit with their parents. And it was hard furniture and it was broken toys. And there was just nothing there that was special or that would make anyone feel like being there, right? And this is a moment when they've lost everything that they know and they come here. And I just thought, this isn't okay. And I asked them, can we do something about this? Can I bring in people and can we make this space beautiful? And ultimately they said, are you going to pay for it? And I said, sure. And they said, okay, come on in. And I was able to call on family and friends, recruit people to come in and make over these rooms and just say, here is a space that says you are special to these kids so that in their darkest time, they at least can see that someone's been thinking about them or that they're welcome, right?
Yeah.
That I always describe as a puzzle piece of what God used to say, here's a need. It's people care. They just need to know how to get involved. Mm-hmm. So I really learned this thing that the church cares deeply because once you told them the need and you said, here's how you can do it, they jumped on board. And so that was a puzzle piece. And then I just became hungry for knowing, understanding this community more. And at the same time, we're becoming foster parents. We went through the classes. We brought in three kids into our home, which completely uprooted our whole lives in a good way and a hard way, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But I learned that diapers were often in need, that kids were coming in, soiled diapers, that in the middle of this tragedy and transition, that a worker might have to run out to Walmart with this child and get diapers. And it's like, that's ridiculous. We can do something about that. So simple. So put on a diaper drive. And we got over 100 boxes of diapers and wipes. And to be able to walk into one agency, one of the four in our town, and say, this is from God's people. We want you to know that we see you, we care about you, and we just want to do our part to help you. And in all of these things, the response from those that worked at the agency was just incredible. They were blown away that we were there. They could not believe it. They were so thankful. So that's really what began this advocacy journey for us. It became the Forgotten Initiative in April 2011, started as a Facebook page, and seriously, just as a way to mobilize God's people to serve this community and support this community. And since that time, we're now eight years in.
Gosh, yeah.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. And God has expanded it beyond what we dreamed at the beginning. But in the most simplistic form of what we do, in the most true form of what we do, we just want to help people support this community.
Yeah. Wow. That is a powerful story. And as a guy who knows a lot of foster care workers and was married to a foster care worker for a time, I mean, yeah, you bring in that stuff into that agency. I think people have no clue what it is like to be on the other side of that. You know, they're seen as the villains a lot of times. And sometimes that might be true. But, you know, these are people like really trying to care for kids just in a system that's hard, you know.
Correct.
Yeah, that's good stuff. You got me a little tearing up already.
You know, I thought that.
I love it. Okay, well, let's talk about what has happened in the last 8 years. What does TFI do sort of now?
Yeah. Okay. So, like I said, what we do is help people, and we do it through awareness, encouragement, and advocacy. So that looks like we have a podcast. It's called The Forgotten Podcast, where I am, like you, interviewing people associated with the foster care community or people that can bring encouragement to the foster care community. So that is a wonderful platform, as you have found. It's one of my favorite things I get to do is sit on the interviewer's seat and ask all the questions I want to ask. So that's beautiful. And that brings a lot of awareness. It also brings a lot of encouragement to people who are in the trenches. We hear from our listeners a lot about that. We put together a children's book series called the Who Loves series, and it's for kids in foster care, and it ranges in age from 0 to 3, 3 to 7, 7 to 10. So it's a 3-part series that just basically overall helps our kids walk through the fact that even though there's a lot of people in their lives, there is a ton of people that care about them. And the fact that they're moving in and out doesn't mean that that child is not special, but that child actually has so many people who want the best for them.
Yeah.
So that's that. We have, just through our Facebook and Instagram platforms, our whole focus there is to pour encouragement, equip people, send out education, you know, different articles and things like that. So those are some of our big awareness and encouragement things. And then our advocacy side, we actually help advocates and their volunteer leaders all across the nation. They help them start and grow foster care ministries right in their community.
Oh, cool.
So we're in about 20 states. We have about 31, I think, leaders and then their teams who are pouring into the foster care community on their on the ground level, walking into agencies just like I did those years ago, getting to know the needs, finding what the needs are, and then with that information, going out and equipping the church to meet the need. Because truly, we just want to help the church be the church. And we realize it's hard to get to know the community. It's hard to know what the needs are. It's hard to get in. Sometimes the church will ask, what can we do? And the agency worker might say, you know, we don't need anything. And it's not because they don't need anything. It's because they don't really have time to think about what they need. Right. And maybe, sadly, they've been burnt before, where people said, we want to jump on board and we want to help. And yet they haven't come through. And so it's easier to say, no, thank you. And so our advocates and their teams, their role is to really pour in, build that relationship so that they can understand those needs and then help it all work together so that God's people can serve.
Yeah, that's cool. That's great stuff. I love hearing all that. We've talked a little bit about foster care on this podcast, but do you mind just sort of talking about your perspective on foster care just a little bit, and like what you've seen and just the need? Yeah.
Sure. Well, kids are removed because of abuse or neglect. It's not because they are causing problems. It's not because they are troublemakers. It's because they have been victims of abuse or neglect. I think that just is a really important thing to realize.
Right.
But I also think it's super important. It's really easy to villainize the birth parents because they have caused or allowed this child to be abused or neglected. But we need to remember that they're humans too.
Yeah.
And that many of them grew up in foster care. And many of them have been abused and neglected. And so sadly, it's this hopeless cycle that has just continuing on and on. And so we just had a former birth parent on our podcast last week. It just launched on Monday. One of my favorite episodes. And she was a victim of addiction. She fell into it unknowing with medication from the hospital. And that caused her through that cycle. I mean, it just got worse and worse and worse. But addiction is a disease. And many of our parents are so struggling and don't have mentors and don't have role models. So I think an important thing for us is that we help people see these birth parents as people created in the image of God that need us, right?
Yeah, amen.
I also think about the workers. The workers, like you said, have easily to be villainized. You know, they're the bad guy, right? It's like they're in front of the court. They're the ones who are having to report to the judge, and the judge might not be happy with them. The foster parents might not be happy with them. The birth families certainly aren't happy with them. And so it's just a really, really tough job. And it's not an easy job to talk about at the dinner table or talk about at a party, right? And say, what do you do? Well, you know, it's just, it's not something people really want to hear about. It's pretty intense. It's pretty heavy. And there's such high rate of burnout for them. And so secondary traumatic stress is a real thing. And that's when you're around trauma all the time. It's not happening directly to you, but it's, you're seeing it, you're living it, you're walking with people through it, and it can affect you in the same way post-traumatic stress disorder can affect you. Sleeplessness, irritability, hopelessness, right? Yeah. So I think just for us to realize that these workers are not just a means to the end. They are people also worthy of our respect and our love. And then our foster parents, it's an extremely difficult job to foster. I think for me, the most difficult thing about foster care was you love this child and yet you realize this is not my child. I don't get to dream up a future for them. I don't know how long they'll be with me. I need to honor their parents, and I'm sending them off weekly to visit their parents, even though everything in me wants to be their parent. Right. And then on the flip side, when things get hard, at least for me, it was easier to be like, okay, if they were not here, it would be easier. And so like, because you don't have that same level of commitment as you do when you're an adoptive parent or a biological parent, it's easy for the enemy, I think, to just be like, well, if they were gone, it'd be easier. So what are you going to do about it? Right. So I felt like there's a lot of fear that I felt in that whole journey as well. So in depression, a lot of foster parents, I did, went through depression during that time. It was just a hard journey. So I think for us at TFI and for me personally, it's so important that we humanize this whole community. It's not just about the kids, even though the kids are the most vulnerable. Every piece of this community works together. And if one succeeds, more succeed. If one fails, it hurts others, right? So that's important to me, that people just realize that these are people that need our love and respect.
Yeah. Wow. That's a great perspective. I don't know that I've ever kind of thought, because the holistic approach to the foster care system is the absolute best approach, right? I mean, like you said, when somebody wins, we all win. I think that is important. And I feel like a lot of times in this world, you know, like when people are out there, right, it's like, oh, those people, they are bad, or, you know, whatever. But when you humanize somebody and you, you know, it just changes everything.
It really does. Yeah. Everyone has a story. They just do. There's reasons we all behave the way we do.
Right.
It doesn't make it right. It doesn't mean you don't excuse abuse and you don't excuse neglect, right? There are consequences.
Right.
But everyone has a story.
Yeah. Well, and that's where you find grace, right? I mean, that's the whole point of this, the whole Christianity thing that we do, right?
Like,
man, have grace for people. Yeah,
right.
That's good stuff. That is so good. Okay, well, let's shift gears a little bit, because I'm really interested. I mean, you said at the beginning, like, you didn't expect to, you know, start an agency or a ministry. Mm-hmm. So, walk me through what it was like for you personally to sort of realize the need and then, oh, I got to build something here.
Yeah. Well, I am on the StrengthsFinders test an activator, which means you do things before you plan it. So that's how TFI started. There was no plan. It was just like, there's a need. Go, go, go. We got to do this, right? And so just slowly over time, you realize, okay, it's becoming bigger than me. And God brings somebody in your path who helps you build it, right? And then he brings other people in your path who help you build it. And at that, the early stages, it was like that. It was like, just made connections with people. And it's like, let's do this. I had so much insecurity as a leader, even a woman leader, a leader. Oh my goodness, especially those early days, I struggled a lot with, should I be doing this? Is this okay? What does this mean? What is a leader? And what's it supposed to look like? Because I am not a person who is like real decisive and I can just tell people what to do. And I second guess myself, you know? And so I think that it was for me listening to, it was at a leadership summit. One of the most powerful times for me was I was at a leadership summit and I heard Patrick Lencioni talking about organizational health.
I love that guy.
You love that guy? Yeah.
Oh man, so good.
I'm trying to figure out a way to get him on my podcast. So got it. Anyways. But yeah, I love his books. I've read them all. But he said, you know, the best thing, or I don't know how he said it exactly, but just talked about the importance of health and organizational health and caring about people. And I was like, oh, okay. I know how to do that. Like, right. I love people. That's been my passion, is people, investing in people. So you mean it doesn't have to look a certain way? Like maybe God has designed me for this, right? Mm-hmm. And that was just really huge for me to be like, so I can use the gifts God's given me and just be me and be a leader. Wow. I don't have to be a really strong, decisive, this is what we do and this is how we do it leader. And that was just huge for me. It was a huge...
What an amazing revelation. That's awesome.
It was beautiful. Oh, I mean, it was, yeah, I just remember, I'll never forget just sitting in that church going, oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit right there, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So our team has grown since then. Now we have 3 full-timers. We have 2 part-timers and then me. And I'm full part whatever, you know,
right.
timer. But we have grown. I mean, our team is just absolutely amazing and healthy, and our 3 full-timers are, they have, I've given so them ownership, and that's really happened the past year or so, where I've learned, okay, just because you're the leader doesn't mean you have to make the final decisions on everything. They were already doing all the groundwork, but we were kind of in this place of still being like, okay, so this is what we think, Jamie, can we do it? And we all just, we didn't, you know, you're learning. I'm learning still this journey all the time. And over in the past year, handing off that ownership and saying, listen, you know the mission. You're as passionate about it as I am. As long as it doesn't go against our mission, you know, I'll be your coach. Let me be your coach. But you know this. You get to make the decision now. You don't have to ask permission. And we are growing in the way we can get so much more done, because we used to kind of all do everything together, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now we still have a lot of collaboration, but each person has their things they're specifically, they own, and they know what they own, and they're going to be accountable to what they own, but they're amazing. I could not do this without them. I mean, this wouldn't exist without them. And I am so grateful for my team. I just love them.
Yeah. I got to spend some time with your team at, down in Kentucky at CAFO.
Aren't they the best?
They are. I really do enjoy them. And yeah. I did sense even, at dinner while we were talking, just this sense, I mean, they own it, you know,
they
I mean, it's their ministry as much as it's anybody. So I think that's cool. But like I think it takes a lot of humility. And since you are humble, you probably won't admit this, but it takes a lot of humility to hand over stuff. I mean, one of the hardest things I think there is to do is to watch somebody fail at something that you know how to do, right? Is that just a love of people that has taught you how to do that? Or
I guess for me, it's super important that I do this thing well. I'm always learning. I'm always reading or listening to podcasts. And the truth is, it just wasn't working. Like we were all feeling like this tension and we didn't quite know why. And it's like, I don't work full time here in the office. I come in one day a week, or I guess it varies in the summer and stuff because I have kids at home.
Right.
But it was like this tension of, okay, if Jamie's not available, then we have to wait and we have to, and what do we do? And it didn't feel good to me either. And then people would be like, okay, who actually owns this? And I'd be like, maybe me? I don't know. You know, it was, so we had this tension of not where we are angry with each other, just this tension of something's not right. It feels like it's plugged. We just can't. And so it just, that tension caused me to really go, okay, what is it? And so talking with my team, listening, learning, I mean, it was really just through that. I want our organization to be healthy. I want us to grow and go further, faster, in a sustainable way, though. And so I think it was just my desire for that health, maybe more than anything. And the reality that I know that I'm not the best one for, I mean, my people are super capable. And so I don't necessarily feel like I'm the best one to make that decision. I know where I'm strong. But I also know where I'm not strong. And I think our team is super healthy that we can call each other out in those areas.
Yeah.
Stick with your strengths. Stick with your strengths, right? So yeah. I think it's more, it was that tension that really caused that. And it was, I was so grateful for it because I cannot tell you the difference. I mean, the weight that has been lifted from my shoulders to say that I need to own everything, even though I'm not in the nitty gritty of everything. It was like really foolish to be like, they're doing this work and they're coming to me with a recommendation. And I magically know the right answer. You know, I don't.
Wow.
So
I think you need to start a leadership podcast. You have some free time, don't you?
Yeah, man. I love leadership though, Curry. I love learning, but I'll keep learning. And then when the time's right, maybe I'll be able to share. But
I think that's so, I mean, I really do. So my, one of the pastors in my church, he's the founder of the church. He has a company that does corporate coaching, right? Like leadership coaching and stuff. So I'm around this stuff all the time. And, it's so important. It's how you love people. Like, I don't think people realize when you're a leader, you're responsible for like the spiritual formation of all those people under you just by how you run your organization, right?
Yeah. When I think that's what's been really key to me is that now that I've given away ownership, actually the funny thing is that there was things in my email that I was holding on to going, okay, I need to have that to think about if the question comes up or whatever. The day that I handed off, because it was kind of like this process where everyone, I was giving them all the same speech, like my three full-timers, my three directors now. And I was sending them emails, go, I don't need this anymore. And it was hilarious because our full-time administrative support team gal, she was like, Jamie, you would have not, those all three of them were like, are you getting emails from Jamie? And they're all like feeling like this pressure of like, oh no, oh no. And I'm going, woo, I'm free. So I'm at home feeling free and they're starting to feel the burden. But I told them, I said, you guys, you leadership is an awesome thing because you get the opportunity to impact change. But it is a burden. And if you are not on your knees and talking to the Lord and asking for his opinion, I'm going to come kick you in the butt. Like you need to make sure that you are seeking him and then you do it and you do it well, but you got to seek him first because it isn't a responsibility and there's more accountability when you are leadership too.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's good. That's good stuff. So how do you go about finding the right people then, you know, and
So I think I would say this on two levels. Like you have our team here, our national team, which are our only paid staff actually in the organization. Mm-hmm. All of our advocates are volunteer leaders. For our volunteer leaders, we have a whole pretty intense process to bring those people on. And they come to us. I mean, we've had people come to us and ask, I want to learn more about this. We haven't actually done a ton of recruitment because they've just kind of come. But there's a process. They have to fill out some applications before. We want to make sure at the very core we're at the same level, right? Statement of faith. Like, are we on the same page here? Then they do a project for us and they start to get connected to their agency and they learn the needs. And then they put together a project so that they can just kind of experience what it's going to be like. So it's a little hands-on training. Then they fill out a full app, which has a lot of, it's a lot, questions about just their leadership, questions about how they deal with team, conflict, that kind of thing. Then they come on after references and stuff. They do an interview with me and I'm asking them a ton of questions about team and leadership and how do you deal with conflict, that kind of same thing. Then a few of us on the team will assess them with a rubric we have. Yeah. And so we'll determine, are they a right fit culturally? Mm. And at that point, we'll bring them on. And it's a volunteer role. But we, over the years, have learned we want the right person. We don't just want a person.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to, we could just fill up the map with people. But this is a culture, an organization we're developing that is strong on culture, that we want to make sure everyone's on mission. It's not about having more people. It's the right people. So that's for that. And then we have a similar process for our people we're actually hiring. Of course, you're developing a job description. You're promoting it. You're interviewing with a few different people to come on. And then we're kind of determining, we're assessing them after the fact too with our rubrics.
Yeah.
We just want to make sure because, it's important. So important. I mean, the people make it
Yeah.
or break it.
Yeah. Well, and what you're talking about is, I mean, an organization's culture is the most important thing
it is
probably has. Can you talk just a little bit about what it's been like to build your culture, mm-hmm. and then like maybe what it is that you look for in knowing your culture is healthy?
Yeah. Okay. So for us, some really important things are that we're being honest with each other. For example, as I've handed off more ownership, the thing that I've realized is now it's my job to be the coach, but to also really focus on leadership development of my team, which is thrilling to me. I love it. And so one very simple thing I do is we have meetings every Monday, just a tactical meeting where we're just kind of, what are you doing this week? What did you do last week? You know, some of those things. And every Monday morning, I'll bring in a leadership tip, something I've been listening to, a podcast or whatever, 5 minutes that I just kind of, here's what we want to focus on, right? It's just really just to kind of throw it in. That's been great. We pray together. We pray for each other at those meetings. You know, I'm sitting by Mitch. I'll pray for Mitch. Mitch will pray for Shannon. Shannon will pray for, you know, that kind of thing. I think just listening to them and being willing to listen to each other. I see when culture is healthy, I see the team elevating each other. We do a lot of cheering for each other and like, man, Jillian, you did a great job. And she'll be like, well, you know what? Holly actually helped me a ton on that. So there's a lot of that happening. We read together. We read 4 books a year and then we discuss them, and they're leadership books or they're books that is going to help us with our mission. So it's not like just for fun, but they have an intentional purpose. I think a big key is just leading by example, developing my own spiritual life. So making sure that I'm focused on my spiritual life, that I'm being honest and open with them about, they know very well how imperfect and raw I am. And we've all, you know, we've celebrated together, we've mourned together over different things. I think that another thing we do on the national level with our advocates is every month we do a monthly update. And so what that looks like is, it's a video. I'm given a 5-minute leadership vision casting sort of thing. So it might just be a personal, again, spiritual like thing I'm learning or some way I've messed up, or just an encouragement to them, or here's where we're going. And we give them some updates about the organization. But then we also have a ton of fun. Me and Jillian do these and we're very stupid. And so we make lots of mistakes. And so Mitch puts together all the bloopers at the end. And so there's our culture, like our core values is honor God, grow through service, communicate and celebrate. And so celebration is huge for us. And that's, you know, having fun, being silly, being goofy, but it's also just celebrating. Like when we hear a podcast, someone, a read or a listener from the podcast shares something, we share it with the team, right? When we hear a positive thing, we're emailing out, guess what God's doing? We save those celebrations. Every week at our TAC meetings, we are celebrating together. We bring a prayer request and a celebration every week. It doesn't have to be the ministry. It can be personal. So celebration is the core for us. Communication is core for us because you need to communicate strong, right? Over communication. We call it crystal clear over communication, especially when you have a team of people that are all across the nation.
Yeah,
that's super important. Connecting with each other is super important. Overall, do you feel like a family or not? I guess is probably at the very core. Do we feel like a family? Are we loving each other? Are we challenging each other? Yeah. Then I think we're good. Are we staying focused on the Lord? That's huge. If we become a social justice movement, then we failed. So I think those are some of the things, ways we focus on it and make sure.
Ah, man, I cannot believe you just did that off the top of your head, too. That's a...
I wrote a few things down this morning, man.
Golly, that was so good. Oh, my goodness. So much Lencioni, like, draped over all that, too. I was like, creating clarity and five dysfunctions of a team.
Totally. And his book, stuff. Death by Meeting, transformed our meetings. I mean, that is the meeting cycle we do.
Yeah, talk about that. I think that's such an important, like, churches, ministries. Yeah. Talk about that, please.
Well, he talks a lot about like, so you need to have different types of meetings. When we first started, there was no agenda. There was no like, you just come together. Okay, let's talk. Well, now it's on Monday mornings. It's an hour to an hour and a half agenda TAC meeting. Everyone sends their agenda items in Friday. So they're put together already. So it's things like I told you, celebration, prayer request, Then it's your top three, what you're doing next week, and your update. It's like accountability, but also just keeping everyone in the loop. Then it's tack items. Tack items are like, is it going to take you about 5, maybe 10, but shouldn't really be that much longer to discuss? Then it's a tactical item. That's fine. If it's something we need to sit down and strategize about, it doesn't belong in this meeting. Hmm. That's a huge thing. So you set a separate strategy meeting for that. And strategy meetings usually are 2.5, 3 hours, right? So it's like, okay, that is something that's going to take a lot more time. We might even start attack. We might put a tack item in there and get into it and go, okay, this is way longer than we need. So let's set a date to talk about this with the right people, whoever needs to be in that meeting. Then we do just short little updates on some metrics we want to keep track of. And that's it. That's it for the tack meeting. So we all know what to expect every week. We have a lot of fun. We pray together, pray for each other, like I said. Then we have strategy meetings. So those are just where you're focused on one main thing.
Yeah.
And we like to have the person leading it come in with some ideas first. That's something we've learned too, right? Let's not all come with a blank slate. If you're in charge of it, you need to do the bulk of the work, but then you bring the people in and you lead that meeting. Then we have quarterly offsites, which we love. Wow. So three of them are, it's basically a full day, maybe 9 to 4 or something, where we're leaving the office and we're talking. We always have focus on organizational health. So I'll do something like, let's talk about our strength finders and we'll listen to strength finders about their thing. And is this true for you? Why or why not? You know,
right.
So we're talking about that kind of stuff, or I'm having them do Patrick Lencioni's organizational health survey.
Yeah.
Let's all do this, see where we're at. But then we're setting goals for the next quarter. We're reviewing our goals from the last quarter. We're setting goals for the next quarter. And then we stick to that. We kind of look through, are these achievable? Are these, what else do we have going that year? You know, so like summertime, people are gone a lot more. It's going to be harder. So we're not going to put as many hefty goals, right? Then one of those quarterly offsites, the fourth one, is in January, and it's an overnight with more intentional focus on organizational health. So just more stuff that I'm going to bring. And then just, again, the goal setting. So every quarter we're sitting down, and then we use Trello. I don't know if you're familiar with Trello.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love, love, love Trello. But that's where we lay out all our goals. People are assigned. So everyone knows where they are. Everyone sees where everyone else is, and it just keeps us all on the same page.
Man, I just want to applaud. Aww. I just that's so that is so good. And it's not that you're running an efficient organization. It's that your people are blessed by you running things like that. It's just, that's what it is. It's about people, and your love for people shines through in some of that. Since you're into self-knowledge, do you know Enneagram?
Oh my goodness. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So what?
Seven wing six.
You're a seven.
I am.
Man, I'm under so many. I know so many sevens, and a lot of people I work for are sevens.
Okay.
So,
what are you?
I'm a three.
Okay.
I'm the guy you want to have on the team because we just
you get it done.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
But then, do I need to call you out and make sure you're stopping? And
no doubt.
Still?
No doubt. No, I will go until I absolutely destroy myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I'll lay on the couch for a week and watch TV. So,
but I have some of that too. Yeah. I'm an all or nothing.
Threes.
Yeah. They're definitely, it's like, I need to appreciate calm. In fact, I did print this out because I was doing this last night, because I was actually pretty discouraged last night. I was feeling like a failure in a lot of my life. And first of all, I just asked Clint to keep the children out of my room so that I could just be alone. And two of the things, personal growth work, that it recommended on the Enneagram was recognize your impulses and get in the habit of observing your impulses rather than giving into them. It means letting most of your impulses pass and becoming a better judge of which ones are worth acting on. For me, that's even just like, I really want Chewy Sprees right now, so I'm going to run out to Walmart and eat the bag, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you mean just because I'm an adult, I shouldn't do that? Oh, huh. And then the other one was learn to appreciate silence and solitude. You do not have to distract yourself and protect yourself from anxiety with constant noise. And that's for me. And I get constant noise because of my children. And so, but I do, I like to, I as much as I want peace, and when I have it, it's beautiful, but it is hard to, I have to really push myself to say, okay, you don't need to turn on that podcast right now.
Yeah. Right.
I did that this morning. I was like, you don't have to listen to something all the time.
Yeah.
That's hard.
It is. It's so hard. I've recently been convicted by some friends I've been listening to a podcast. It's a series of sermons by John Mark Comer out in Portland. It's like Bridge something church. I can send you over, but he does a thing on the Sabbath, and like, I've always known Sabbath was important, but him talking through it and like actually Sabbathing, not just like laying on the couch all day.
Yes.
It's like, we started last week and I'm like so pumped about this week. Like, you know, so, those are things like, especially in this whole work, when you're a high achiever, when you get a lot of work done, it is so important to have that just time of worship and rest in God, you know,
it's
in his hands. And so
it is.
Yeah.
Well, and it's easy. Like my mind will just spin
sure.
because it's like, right. I've got this thought or that thought. And so it takes some time to really quiet.
Yeah.
That, which is sometimes why I want to distract myself, because I can actually just like even falling asleep. I just want to distract myself with something that I'm listening to so that I can focus on that instead of all the things that are going on in my mind.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't think that's healthy.
No, I agree. I agree. We could all use a little more silence in our lives,
I think. So.
Our culture is bent so far the other way, right?
Right.
It's countercultural. So, okay. So one thing I did want to ask you, though, back on the leadership train, just real quick. I think an important part of any organization is managing conflict and allowing for healthy conflict.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? That is like one of the hardest things to do.
Yes. And I don't love conflict at all. But I do think it's super important. And I think that, and we'll just speak to it sometimes. Okay, guys, like it's okay. Sometimes like in the moment, if we're like in a meeting and everyone on our team is passionate, they're passionate about what they do. They're passionate about this work. And so we all have different thoughts and feelings. And so sometimes that comes out and there can be tension and no one likes it, right? You can all feel it. Usually we'll talk to it after. Sometimes we'll talk to it in the moment. But a lot of times we'll even just like say, guys, I'm so glad we can have some tension and talk through this because we all care. And I think we just put voice to it probably is the main thing. And we'll actually just thank the Lord for it. And we'll just, one thing I've noticed about my team is that, yeah, there might be tension, but when we all say, okay, I think this is the best decision, we get behind it. And so I see people aligning. I don't see people just going, okay, whatever, sure. You know, it's like, okay, I've spoken my piece. I don't necessarily agree, but I'm going to get behind it.
Yeah, that's good. I do think giving voice, because in meetings, sometimes people get like riled up and conflict happens and then it just like nobody ever talks about it. Right.
Because
It's easier not to.
It's easier not to. And yet then I think for me, personal connection with people is so important. And so I hate having stuff between us. So I would rather put it out in the open than just leave it hanging. It doesn't mean I do it immediately. There's definitely times I have to sit on it and I struggle with it because I don't want to say it, you know, but like even performance reviews, if ever I have to say anything that's a little not, I mean, it physically hurts me. Like it hurts to think I don't want to hurt them because I love them and I think they're awesome. And so we also do weekly meetings. So like even just personal, just check-ins.
Yeah.
And so it's not like you're going to get to a performance review and be like, okay, I have to drop this big ball.
Right.
You know, we're going to talk about it.
But,
yeah, right. We're going to talk about stuff pretty quickly. But that's something I have to pray over myself is your job isn't to make people happy. Mm. It's to help them be good stewards of the mission and of their time and of their resources. But I have to physically like remind myself because my tendency, and I think it's a 7 thing, I want everyone to be happy. I want everyone to feel good. I want everyone to feel respected and honored and blessed and loved and they're perfect. And if you want to tell me what I'm doing wrong, I'll take it. You know, tell me. I want to improve.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to tell you what you're doing wrong because it hurts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet people appreciate that when you're honest and you're kind about it. People really, I mean, not one time has anyone been like, man, I wish you wouldn't say that to me.
Right. Yeah. We all want to get better at some point. Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just don't know.
Right. Right.
And that's good stuff. That's good stuff. One thing I'm thinking about as we're talking about this, have we talked about the retreats that y'all do? I know y'all do retreats down in
Georgia.
Rome, Georgia.
Yes.
Love it. Do you want to talk just a little bit about what that is? I hear it's magical.
It is. It's the best thing ever. One time a year, we bring all our advocates together, all of our team, that's like everyone's there. whoever can. I mean, not everyone can be there all the time, but we bring them together. They pay to get there. Our advocates do, but we cover everything else. And so it is a time for them to get away. We want them to bring their spouse or a team member, so we pay for them as well. Hmm. And we train them. We spend time together. We laugh. We joke. We talk. We share. We give them time. One day, it's 4 hours of just do whatever you want. And we're sitting in Georgia on the campus of Martha Barry College, the Windshape Retreat Center. Seriously, the quietest place you've ever been to.
Wow.
You go there and instantly you feel like peace.
Yeah.
And the people there are just wonderful and so accommodating. And so they set the stage for us. Hmm. Then we come in and we just love on our people. It's our favorite thing because we get to see our advocates in person. That's our only time a year. Four times a year, there are round tables that are over Zoom, like you and I are on.
Yeah.
That advocates are talking to each other. They're talking to each other in Facebook group, but this is the time of year that people can be together. We can hug each other. We can cry together. We can laugh together. And we hear from them all the time. I mean, it's family. That's It's like uncanny how we are all from different places, but we're family. Like, we just love each other. It's amazing. It's incredible. And the level of engagement after that with our advocates, the level of connection they feel with us and especially each other skyrockets after that. And so it is the best investment of our time that we do, I think, all year long, and are one of our very favorite things.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds amazing. Again, and I do think, I always say this as a pastor, it's easier to lead people who you pay than it is to, if you could lead a volunteer, you could lead anybody, right? And you have like a volunteer force. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, it's pretty crazy. And we have expectations on them and we do the same with them. Like if we're not, and the expectations are pretty cut and dried. It's communication and connection. Mm. Are you communicating with us? Are you communicating with each other? Are you connecting at these round tables? Are you coming to the retreat? I mean, it doesn't mean if they can't make it that they're out.
Right.
But like, there's some core principles. Are you honoring these core values? Is this part of who you are, not just something we're trying to impose on you? Mm. And if we see them starting to drift, we talk to them. How's it going? What's happening? I feel like you're not here. We've asked advocates to leave. We've said no to advocates who want to apply. We're not, we're very serious about this.
Yeah. Yeah, those conversations cannot be
firing terrible.
A volunteer.
They're terrible.
Oh my gosh.
But often it happens where it's like everyone, it's kind of a mutual where it's like, okay, this probably isn't the right season for me anymore. You know, there's been a few times that things haven't gone down so beautifully, but for the most part, it's pretty much like, we love you. They love us. It's just that it's not the right season.
Yeah.
But that's why we pour into our advocates and train them to build teams, and because we want them to be sustainable, even if they have to leave, we want to see the movement continue in their area.
Yeah, right. Oh, so such good stuff.
It lights me up, Curry.
Yeah, I can tell, and I definitely enjoy it. So, yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. So, if people want to get involved with what like y'all got going on, can you talk just a little bit about what that looks like or what they can do?
And we want you to get involved. We love that. Go to our website. It's the best thing. TheForgottenInitiative.org, and if you click on Become a TFI Advocate, you're gonna get lots of information about what does that look like. We have some questions like, is this role for me? Why would I do this with TFI and not just start my own ministry? Because that's a beautiful thing. We firmly believe TFI isn't for everyone.
Sure.
And so if we totally champion people to start their own ministry, and we will support them with things like our podcast and with our Facebook platforms and the books, whatever. But if you really want to be part of our family and our culture and really be, once they join, I mean, they become part of we're part of right now, Lifesong for Orphans 501c3.
Okay.
And so they become part of that. That means people can donate to their area, tax deductible donations. That means any resource they need, we're going to send them, and we're creating stuff for them and we're giving it to them for free. So they're an advocate. Their payment essentially is that they're following these expectations, that they're being a part of this team, a part of this family, but then we just pour everything into them. And so go on the website, find Become a TFI Advocate, learn about what that looks like, lots of information, but then email us, because we'll send you out okay, here's some expectations. Here's the prelim application. Here's some things for you to see. And then Holly walks with anyone who's interested, and Holly is just fantastic. And so if you just have questions about what that looks like, call us, you know, reach out to us, because we want to get more people involved because we believe in this mission. And we want to see people everywhere supporting the foster care community and experiencing Jesus together, because we believe that when you support someone in the foster care community, not only are you helping them, but they're helping you too. They're giving you perspectives you never had. They're giving you reminders that we all need Jesus. And so when you support this community, you experience Jesus too. And that's what we want to see. And so whether that's through TFI or if we can champion other ministries by just pouring out resources, we just want to be a part of making it happen. People everywhere.
Gosh, so good. Woo! Oh my gosh. That's awesome. You rocked it. No, I love the mission. I love just getting the behind the scenes of just your ministry. I feel like so many times, you know, you have to be really involved to see those, like, right, the inner workings. Yep. And so I love, thanks for being willing to kind of delve into all that.
Oh man, that's like I told you before we started recording. That's, I don't get to talk about that very much. And it's what I think about. It's what I love in my role. It's what puts me on fire. So I love talking about it.
Well, since we did such a long, lengthy discussion on leadership, can you give me off the top of your head, maybe your top five resources, like leadership resources that you would send people to?
You mean that I would recommend?
Yeah, that you would recommend people checking out.
Craig Groeschel Leadership Podcast.
Okay. Yeah.
Anything Patrick Lencioni. What else? I mean, I love, like, I think the Enneagram is very good. Strength Finders, like learning about yourself. Yeah. I think that stuff, Patrick Lencioni does the table group. And so that's something that I would encourage people to look into. And there's like organizational health surveys you can print out and you can have your team fill out. That's been huge for us. Yeah. Lots of templates. He has a bunch of resources. Hmm. We're reading right now Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah.
We've read Switch, which I think Heath and Chip and Heath, you'll have to look that up. Okay. I can't remember his name. But I would say, I mean, the things I fully is Patrick Lencioni stuff, Craig Groeschel Leadership Podcast, I listen to every time it comes out. It's so digestible and so good. Entree Leadership, another great podcast I really enjoy.
Okay.
And yeah, I think those would probably be the main ones.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. I appreciate that because I think leadership is so stinking important, and obviously you do too. But
yes.
All right. Well, let's jump into the final two questions then. So my first question is, what is the strangest job that you have ever had?
So I thought about this because I did see that was one of your main questions you always ask. I really haven't had a ton of jobs, truth be told. I've been a tutor. I've been a busy worker, and busy worker meaning at my dad's company when I was young, and all I did basically was shred paper. And the most exciting thing about that was when I'd get the paper stuck in the shredder because I try to get it too much. But probably most interesting would be I was an exercise instructor for a time at a women's gym, and I loved it because, again, it wasn't so much that I was passionate. I wasn't passionate about exercise. I was passionate about people. Yeah. And I wanted to make exercise fun. And so I did that for a couple of years and absolutely loved it. But then, you know, life change happened and realized I couldn't do everything.
Yeah.
So that's probably the most.
Cool. What kind of exercise were you teaching?
Like it was group classes. So like step classes and power, like weights.
Okay. Did you have the microphone and the whole thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was living it up, Curry.
That's legit. That is so legit. Well, good. Okay, so my final question then is, what is one piece of advice you would give to somebody looking to bring God's kingdom more into their work?
I love that. I think a huge thing is simply to seek to understand people and truly listen to people, truly sincerely care about people. And when you do that and ask questions of people, like just be interested in people, when you do that, it's going to open doors for conversation and it's going to open doors for opportunities. But I think ultimately just sincerely care about people and ask them questions, ask about their life, be interested in them.
Yeah, That's good. Such good stuff. Jamie, I can't say thanks enough. Thanks for making time for me. It was such pleasure to
This has been great. Chat.
So, well, awesome. Well, we'll see you at the Replanted Conference.
You got it.
Yeah, I can't wait. Looking forward to it. So, all right, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Curry.
Thanks. Well, I hope you enjoyed hearing from Jamie. I hope you're challenged in leadership, no matter where you are, to just become a better leader. I think that's such important stuff. I encourage you to check out the Forgotten Initiative. Check out what they got going on. Jamie also does an amazing podcast called The Forgotten Podcast, and I'm going to link all that stuff in the show notes so you can find it easily. If you're involved with adoption or foster care in any sort of way, I would encourage you to listen to that podcast. It's amazing. Even if you just know somebody and you want to know how to support people better who are in adoption and foster care, that is a great resource for you to check out. So go do that. Make sure that you're following all those links. And yeah, check out the Forgotten Initiative. It's awesome. I would love to know what training, leadership training resource you pick up or jump into because of this podcast. So if you got something that's sort of burning and you're like, I got to go check out, you know, one of Lencioni's book or Craig Goschel's podcast, let me know about it. I'd love to hear about it. I'd love to talk a little bit more about leadership. I think that's such important stuff. So until next time though, get out there and hustle.